Welcome to UK Health Radio. You are listening to the Speech and Language Therapy Show, hosted by Shamina Rabi, a consultant speech and language therapist and founder of Unlocking Language, an award-winning independent practice that provides speech and language therapy to both adults and children. She is dedicated to raising awareness about speech, language, communication and swallowing difficulties and empowering those who have them.
So on today's show, we have Ruth Crampton, a consultant speech and language therapist who has been in the field for 15 years. Ruth founded her own business, her own practice in Northern Ireland in 2016, where she and her team work with children and young people with speech, language and communication difficulties, offering several types of services. Previously, Ruth has been a lecturer on the undergraduate speech and language therapy degree and worked for several years in the NHS. She is currently chair of ASLTIP, the Association of Speech and Language Therapists in Independent Practice, and the developer of the popular app Let's Expand Vocabulary. So welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Shamina. Thank you for having me.
That's a really, really impressive profile.
I guess when you read it back to me, yeah, it actually is. It doesn't really sound like me, actually. I guess when you note things down, you, as a person, tend to forget what you've actually done over a period of time. It all just merges into one. I guess for me, I'm just a speech and language therapist, just doing something that I actually really, really love.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased that you're, on the show today, because of course you and I have sort of heard of each other and had email correspondence, but it's the first time we've met via Zoom and able to actually have a conversation. And I'm really interested in today's show because there's so much to talk about: your role in ASLTIP, your entrepreneurial journey from speech therapy to business owner, the development of your app. And it'll be really interesting to talk about the current pandemic and how independent speech and language therapy fits into that, and everything that you and the ASLTIP have been doing for the independent therapists in the UK. So where shall we start? Let's start off with you, Ruth. Would you like to tell our listeners your journey from speech therapist to where you are now?
Sure. I started back in 2015. I graduated from the University of Ulster over just outside Belfast. And at that stage, there was quite a shortage of speech and language therapy jobs. So I went south of the border to the south of Ireland for 9 months and took up a paediatric post down there, working with children who had complex needs. And I guess that formed my passion in and around working with children with autism. I then was able to move back north of the border, closer to home, to work within the local NHS, and had the opportunity to work with a wide variety of children with communication difficulties in a local community clinic. That gave me such a lovely variety of experience and an opportunity to develop my skills and hone them in and around the areas of speech and language development that I really, really enjoyed. And that's how I was able to do lots and lots of training around autism, and that would be one of my areas that I'm really passionate about. I've also developed in the last number of years a real passion for working with children with Down syndrome as well. So all of that has been part of the journey through the NHS. And then coming towards the end of my time in the NHS, I had the opportunity to apply for a lecturing post on the undergraduate degree in the local university, and got it, most surprisingly to me, probably more than anybody else. But also that gave me 6 months of an opportunity to lecture to speech and language therapists of the future, those who were completing the degree, and share my experience of my 10 years in the NHS. And also, as I was lecturing, I was setting up my independent practice, so I was able to advise them in around being innovative in speech and language therapy as well. I'm probably best described as somebody who likes to think outside the box.
Oh, I love that. You are, Ruth.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. And I guess that's where the app has come from and how I've fallen into this role as being acting chair of ASLTIP over the last year. So I like to be very creative in how I do things. And I hope that comes across to all the parents that I'm working with and anybody I come in contact with through ASLTIP as well, in that I like to just not do things the normal way.
And so it sounds like you're very busy, because I know, having been on the board previously, SLTIP does so much for the independent therapists in the UK. How are you managing to fit everything? So, you know, acting chair, running your own practice, managing your team, developing your app. You're still doing face-to-face clinic. How do you manage to fit all that in?
That's a really good question. Some weeks it goes easier than others, I'll be very honest with you, but it's a real juggling act. And I'm lucky in the sense that I do have other speech and language therapists who are part of my team. So it just means that whenever new referrals come through, the onus isn't solely on me to take on those clients. I've got five other speech and language therapists working with me. So I can contact all five, indicate who has requested some input from the team, and decide who's going, who's best to pick that child up and that family up at this time. So that's lovely in a sense. I don't feel like it's only me working and providing face-to-face sessions, and the rest of the team all know that I have hours I devote to SLTIP throughout the week. So it's just for me on a Monday morning getting the balance right. Mm-hmm. Which days am I working for Let's Expand Communication Limited, and which days am I working for SLTIP?
And does that
and which
change?
Which days then do I have for myself?
And does that change weekly, or do you sort of have your set days and you try not to have crossover between, you know, your clients calling and managing your team and then managing SLTIP?
Yeah, I try my best, I'll be honest with you, to keep it to the sense that I do my clinical face-to-face sessions Mondays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, and keep my SLTIP days to Tuesdays and Fridays. Having said that, there can be a crossover. We developed as SLTIP team. There has been crossover in the last number of months, mainly because as a team through SLTIP, we've been developing a new website. So there were occasions where I had to perhaps on my lunch break from clinical sessions, actually liaise with the website team to see how development was happening, liaise with some of the other SLTIP members who were working on that project with me, just because we had deadlines to meet. And if I didn't pick up certain emails or certain phone calls on those clinical days, then I knew I was going to be holding the project up. I'm one of these people who, if I've got a to-do list, I really like to work through it and make sure things are getting done in the time frame that has been set. I would never like to think of myself as being the person who's held up, especially because being acting chair on SLTIP, our membership have been waiting for a new website for several years. So we, the current board, were very determined that we were going to get a very fast turnaround for phase one, and we did not want anything to hold that deadline back.
The new website is great. Of course, I'm a member of SLTIP, so I can vouch to say the new website is It's easier to use, and I think for clients when they're looking for therapists, I think it's easier on the eye. It's definitely more user-friendly.
Brilliant. And I suppose that was our goal from the outset. We knew that it was a very clunky website. We wanted it to be easy for the service users, who are obviously parents and clients and carers coming to actually look at the website to find a speech and language therapist in the UK, but also for our members as well. They needed to have a function on there that they could be found by the general public. It's their means of work to some degree, and how they actually are accessible to the general public to provide a service. But also, we're their support and network as well. We want our members to be able to access a really well-functioning site that they can get support from their colleagues and also get support from us as a board more easily.
So can we sort of think about SLTIP in terms of what SLTIP does for the general public and what SLTIP does for speech therapists?
Yeah, of course, no problem. From a general public perspective, SLTIP is there as a guide, so we can support the general public to learn a little bit more about what communication difficulties all of our members work with. Mm-hmm. But also they can then find a speech and language therapist in their local area who's able to support perhaps their child or a family member who has communication difficulties and who needs additional support. Our members also work alongside the NHS speech and language therapist, so it means that any parents or any carers who are looking for a service can get that additional to the service that they're getting from the NHS.
Absolutely. So it is collaborative.
It is.
We have a few clients who will have some private speech therapy to fill in the gap until their turn comes up in the NHS, and then they might stop with us, or they might decide to do both, and the NHS speech therapist and us will work together and share targets and share techniques. And I love that collaborative working. That is, I think it's a real great opportunity to learn and share ideas from one another in the private sector and in the NHS.
It is. It's lovely. And I think what I've noticed even through this pandemic over the last 8 weeks, and even just today before we came on together, I had an email from a speech and language therapist based in the south of Ireland asking if I could support her as she starts some teletherapy down there, because she's noticed posts that I've put on Twitter or Instagram or my Facebook page just in and around how I've been using teletherapy to provide a service. And it's really lovely to see other members who are based in the likes of the NHS or the HSC, which is down in the south of Ireland, wanting to become more innovative in how they can now provide therapy, because they do realise that there has been a gap over those last 8 weeks as they've been applying themselves to learn new ways of this provision and providing a service for the clients that they have.
There has been lots of working together from the different sectors, and even with paediatric therapists who've been redeployed to go and work and support adult teams, I've seen lots of different things on social media where they're supporting communication and adult dysphagia on the wards, previously having been in clinic working with paediatric outpatients. So I think there's been a great support and getting together for our profession.
There has, and I think there's also even been, and I don't know if it's happened quite as much in other parts of the UK, but just from personal experience over here in Northern Ireland, quite a lot of my friends who are speech and language therapists have been redeployed onto the ward. So they've maybe gone from a paediatric clinic where they just see children all day to an ICU ward in one of the local hospitals where they're doing proning of adult clients who have got COVID, and they're having to wear all of the PPE gear, which they've never experienced before. They've had to go out and learn training as to how to prone the patients on the ward, but they've also been doing longer shifts as well. So for them, they've really had to adapt to all these changes and just, you know, obviously upskill themselves as best they can. And also that's making big changes for their family too, because their working hours have changed.
Yeah, it has been a real change, I think, for the whole profession. But there's been lots of positive that's come out of a situation like this. So thinking back to Aceltip, so of course Aceltip is a place where if you're looking for a speech and language therapist, you can log onto the website, put in some general details such as the child's age or the adult's age, your postcode, and it comes up with a list of speech therapists that are local to you, which means it's easier for home visits, or easier for you to be able to get to the clinic. Now, for speech and language therapists, what are the benefits of being part of Aceltip?
For our members, it's an opportunity to get support from other speech and language therapists. If you've had the opportunity to work in the NHS, which I did, and yourself as well, you know there's that lovely network of speech and language therapists. You might even work in a clinic where you've got somebody right beside you. If you've got a difficult case, you can literally knock on the door and have a quick 5-minute chat to discuss how you're going to proceed with your therapy, to have a little back and forth conversation just to discuss whether your clinical thinking is appropriate and accurate, or if somebody can give you some fresh ideas. As an independent practitioner, you don't have that same opportunity unless you join something like Aceltip, where you've got a high volume of independent speech and language therapists who can all support you, whether that be via our members forum. You can basically log on to your members account, put in a question, and you'll get several speech and language therapists across the UK coming back with answers. It's instant. It happens over a period of time.
It's very interactive. It's supportive. And people can ask all sorts of questions, from I'm trying to set up, I'm new to this, what do I need to do, to can we discuss this complex client that I've seen, or start thinking about I'm planning to expand, what do I need to start thinking about. So clinically, non-clinically, from a business point of view, there's so much support on that forum.
There is, and there's also an opportunity on there to find out if new positions are coming up. So we do have outside organisations contacting Aceltip to ask, can we put a plug out there on the forum to ask if there's anybody who would be willing to work with a charity or another organization. They're looking for maybe set hours during the week, and it gives our members opportunities to maybe try something a little bit new or work alongside a partnership to develop their skills. And ultimately, I know myself, and so do you, when you're setting up practice, you're going into that self-employment, you don't have as much security financially, so you will take on work and you're looking for people to provide and give you opportunities to take on that new work as well. So ultimately, we're trying to do lots of things for our members so that they can get work, but they can also get support and they can get lots of opportunities of finding out what new courses, what new training is coming up. And also, if they have developed something innovative like myself, they can then advise our members, and our members can go on and look into it and see whether it would be something useful for them to use during their therapy sessions.
Fantastic. And I think you're right, when you first go into independent practice and it's just you, it is lonely. I've been there, you've been there. I'm part of a team now, so that's great. But initially, when you're on your own, and there are many therapists that are independent, and I think that's a perfect choice for them. It can be lonely. So having the opportunity to see other therapists, is it once a term? I think the ASLTIP groups that are local meet once a term or twice a term.
Generally they do. And I think that's lovely. Those local groups are great because it means that you can then get face-to-face with other speech and language therapists. And it's actually surprising how many other speech and language therapists in your area are working independently, but you've never come across them before.
It's so true.
Because you're all working in so many different sectors prior to joining ASLTIP. And what's lovely, and what's also come out of this kind of lockdown pandemic at the moment, is that we're now going to set up a teletherapy local group. So it just means that actually you don't have to just be in a catchment area where you can drive to meet with your colleagues. We're going to use more online platforms that you can actually, if you were in Scotland, you could still meet with somebody in London or somebody over here in Northern Ireland or somebody in Wales. We're starting that actually we're going to start using more of these platforms that are out there to get support right across the country.
Oh, I love that. I'm looking forward to being part of that, Ruth. Okay, so what are the plans for ASLTIP in the future? Where is ASLTIP moving?
Gosh, that's a really good question. It's interesting because actually over the last number of months, we've become more involved in a lot of joint projects with the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists, which is great. It's lovely to do all that collaborative working with them, because at the end of the day, to be able to work and to be able to be a member of ASLTIP, we have to be a member of the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists. So it's only right that we should be working together.
And I think as members, we can see that there's been a lot more collaborative working, getting involved in guidances, supporting therapists both from an RCSLT point of view and ASLTIP. So I think that collaboration has been really meaningful and useful for independent therapists.
Brilliant. And that's lovely to hear, because I guess as a board member, sometimes you don't get an awful lot of feedback. You can see bits and pieces going through, and you might get the odd email, but sometimes you're thinking, oh my goodness, we're doing all of this work, has anybody noticed that we're actually doing it? Is anybody aware of how much we're working with college?
We've all noticed.
Thank you, well noted. A couple of those projects have obviously had to be put to one side. Just one of the biggest ones was in and around getting the guidance out there for speech and language therapy students. So working collaboratively with the university and the undergraduate degrees as well. So that was a joint project between college, ASLTIP and universities across the country. It's been put on hold because obviously all of those students can't go out and do their placements at the moment. So that's a project that hopefully we can pick up again in September time. Mm-hmm. And then we can get draft guidance out around that. And my vice chair, Sarah Buckley, has been taking on that role, has been at meetings with college and university lectures. So that's lovely. She's developing all of that. The biggest thing that we're working on at the moment is our joint guidance with college around getting back out and getting reopening our services as restrictions start to lift. Our members really just want to have some clear guidelines as to how we can go back into schools, go into nursing homes, go into health and care settings, and have the proper equipment, have the proper guidelines there to be able to facilitate really good communication sessions, but also have the right guidance in place and the right resources in place too. So we're working very jointly on that at the moment. And only this week, you'll know yourself, the guidance went out from college around using teletherapy and telehealth.
I was part of that, which is very
put a little bit into that too.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I was part of the, I was one of the authors on that. So, yeah, that was a very interesting piece of work that we did, and a piece of work that was needed by everyone in the profession.
One of the other big things that we're doing over the next number of months, we obviously mentioned that we have brought about our new website. That was phase one. We've split it into two phases. So we had phase one, which was very much the landing page, what the general public can see whenever they come on to find out about Astletip or Source for a Therapist. Phase two is going to be very much our members page.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, hopefully. That's going to be phase two. We're hoping it will launch mid-September. We're in negotiations at the moment with the developer team. We're putting our spec together. We are putting the guidance in place as to what we want. We need to be guided by them because ultimately we're not web developers or technicians. We're speech and language therapists, so we know what our members want. We've just got to make sure it's actually on the website. So that's one of the other big projects that we're going to be working on in the next few months. And hopefully, when that's launched, our members will see a whole fresh new part to the member side of the website, which will be easily accessible, as you mentioned about phase one, easy to get around, and easy, I suppose, for them to make changes to their own profiles. Our members get the opportunity to add their own little blurb about what they do, what they specialise in, where they're working, what level of postgraduate training they've undertaken to be specialists in key areas to treat, and it gives them the opportunity to make more changes, add more pictures, and just make their profile look highly appealing to members of the public.
Absolutely. I mean, it is about selling your business and your branding when you're on, when clients are going through your profile. So going back to your business, Ruth, so it's Let's Expand Communication.
It is.
So where does the name come from? I love the name.
Oh, that's a really good question. Do you know, as a speech and language therapist starting your new business, and you kind of go on to Google and you see what's already been taken.
And everything's taken.
Everything's been taken. You're going to try and think of something that's fresh and new is actually really hard because everything you think, oh, we'll call it Little Talkers. Oh, no, somebody's taken Little Talkers. Yeah. Oh, we'll call it such and such Northern Ireland. Somebody's already taken such and such Northern Ireland. So it was just to think, what could I create? And because as I was setting up the business, I was also thinking about the apps and the app development side. So I want to be able to tie the two of them together to a degree so that in some ways they both had a similar start of a name, but that could be changed towards the end. So I thought about Let's Expand. And as I thought, Let's Expand, I thought, well, my app kit is all about vocabulary. So Let's Expand Vocabulary works really well. But holistically, the whole business is about communication. So Let's Expand Communication. And as I develop apps in the future, I'm hoping that I can talk about Let's Expand Vocabulary, Let's Expand Phonology more.
Let's expand sentences. Let's Expand Social Skills.
I thought about Let's Expand Communication. And then if I was developing more apps, I could put Let's Expand Phonology, Let's Expand Syntax, all the aspects of communication development that we work on. Let's Expand Social Skills. There's so many elements to the job that we do that actually having Let's Expand at the start meant that I could kind of cover everything in detail as I developed.
I love that, Ruth. I think the branding of Let's Expand is really strong. And are there many private practices in Northern Ireland?
Actually, in the last number of years, there's been an increase in practices in Northern Ireland. I am part of my local group and we meet every so many months just locally. And I guess at our meetings, we have seen a real increase in membership and new people coming. Now, having said that, some of them are still working in the NHS and also doing a little bit of independent practice work on the side, mm-hmm. which is appropriate. As we know, collaboration is key, mm-hmm. and there's no qualms about doing both. We've definitely seen a rise, and I suppose across Northern Ireland now you might have about 30 speech and language therapists working in different sectors. you might have a few of us that are pocketed quite close together, and then you might have larger gaps of where actually people are further spread around the country. Parts of Northern Ireland are very much city-based or town-based, but then you also have quite a lot of countryside. So to get from one town to the other would be a longer drive than other aspects of the country. So it's quite nice whenever we do have those meetings, because we all come together and it gives us an opportunity to talk about our individual practices and how we can support each other.
And so with your practice, Ruth, you go into schools and you have a clinic, and do you go into a client's home as well?
Yes, we can offer all three. We would go into a variety of schools, and it's the parents' decision more than anything else where they feel is best going to suit their child's needs. I know that a few of my children changed from seeing me in clinic to myself going into school, because they naturally progressed from being preschoolers into primary school. So for parents' work environments or just home life, it was much easier for me to see them in the morning in the classroom and support their learning support assistant during my sessions, and then touch base with mum or dad later in the day just to explain what we had done and the carryover that was needed at home throughout the week as well. And then I always make sure that during the school breaks we do a session with myself and the parents, so that we're keeping up to date and everybody's working together for their communication needs.
And so during the pandemic, I'm assuming, like all other therapists, you've moved to teletherapy. How are you finding that?
Honestly, exhausting. And I don't mean that. It's such a different way of working. And I suppose you and I both, prior to this, worked out that we've both been out of university the same number of years. We've both been working. We're both skilled professionals in a sense that we can just grab something from beside us and make it work for a session whenever we're face-to-face in the room with a child. Mm. What I have found doing teletherapy is I have to be much more animated on screen, but I also can't just literally walk away from the computer to go and grab something that's on the other side of the room. It all has to be in close proximity, because if I do that, I've lost the child's attention and the mum's trying to pull them back because they've also left the computer screen. But I love it. It's actually been amazing how well my children have adapted to being on the screen and just working in a really different way.
I completely agree. I think it's been very empowering for the parents. It's been great for them to sort of take the role on and do the therapy. It's almost like there's a bit of parent coaching when the child is under five. But also it's been quite interesting because some parents have said, they were reluctant at first, but then they've said, actually, my child is engaging quite well. And I think that, the younger generation are quite adept with the screen. So actually they are quite engaged with us doing teletherapy. What we are finding a bit more exhausting is developing the resources, so making them into PDF format, sharing the screen, kind of being inventive with that. That is quite time consuming and quite exhausting. But delivering the therapy has been quite nice, being at home, kind of quite productive. Therapists are feeling very productive. In London, you often spend 3 hours traveling and commuting. So having saved that time, I guess that time's now going into making and developing resources and being more creative.
It is. And I think you're right. You have to be more creative because, again, you're sending resources home or you're providing things online. And I know that as I was doing my research and everything was starting to lock down and the decision was made that we couldn't do those face-to-face sessions any longer, it was going to have to be, right, am I not going to work for the next number of weeks? I'm self-employed. I have to think about, oh my goodness, I'm going to have bills that are continually needing paid, or am I going to adapt and use what is in front of me, the computer and the technology that I've actually got here, to make sessions work. And I've invested a lot of time just in learning how to use online resources. I was one of those crazy speech and language therapists that decided a visualizer would be really helpful to have an extra camera, and it has been amazing. The kids love it. They love the fact they can see my hand moving underneath and they can still see my face the screen. It's like, wow, what are you doing? It's Ruth's become a magician. And the parents have all said that actually they are surprised, a little bit like what you said, they're surprised with how well their children are coping with this. Some of them were very not negative necessarily, but just a little bit unsure of how it would go.
Reluctant to go ahead with it.
But with the kind of coaxing of, let's try it.
Yeah.
Most of our work is trial and error anyway, to see what's going to work for a child and what isn't. Mm. And this is just exactly the same. Is this going to be a really good support for this child, or actually are they going to struggle with it? We give them a program, they work on the program for a number of weeks, and then we touch base again. I have to say, of all my parents who have engaged, given it a go, none of them have stopped. They all want to see me either the following week or the following fortnight. And one mum actually messaged me today, just a wee bit of feedback, and she said, you know, I am pleasantly surprised. He loves his sessions. He's every week he's asking, are we seeing Ruth today? You know, are we seeing Ruth this week? And she's like, no, Ruth's next week. We saw Ruth last week because they're doing fortnightly. But she said it actually kept a little bit of structure to our family life, because we used to see you face to face on a fortnightly basis, and we're now still doing that, but it's just via the screen.
And
that's been lovely, and that's so positive.
I'm not surprised by that.
Parents, yeah, very much. So those parents are getting on board about our different way of working.
We've had some parents who've said, could we continue even when normality kicks in? Because again, saving time to travel. And actually, I've seen that my child is engaged really well. And we split that hour into 2 30-minute sessions a week, which means they're getting really productive 30-minute sessions. I think overall, teletherapy has been pleasantly working and engaging and effective for all speech language therapists. So it was interesting what you said, because I think the government have been fantastic in providing the support to independent therapists, but the information came segmented. So I think for independent therapists, as soon as we knew schools were closing, of course, that's our livelihood. So we started thinking, right, what are we going to do as an alternative before furloughing and, self-employment support came? We all started thinking with a different hat. So I think a lot of independent therapists started teletherapy within that first week of lockdown, if not the second. And then once all the information came in, I think because we'd already started and sort of convinced our schools and clients, we didn't really want to sort of backtrack. So I think that's been really, it's been great to see how innovative speech therapists have been in the independent sector, because again, you're working on your own. So it's researching on your own, having that forum to sort of have those discussions, and then just give it a go and see how it works.
And actually, I have to be really honest, the Asletech Forum has been amazing over the last 8 weeks. All therapists have been so encouraging towards each other. Any research that any independent speech therapist has done, they've put a blurb on the forum just to say, I've done research around this. I can encourage you, if you would like me to give you any further guidance. One of our members actually created a link with the Visualizer company. And off the back of that, then I made contact with them, and we were able to deliver a free webinar for the independent speech and language therapists a couple of weeks ago to find out more how to use that technology during sessions. And I have to say, I got an email from the webinar company earlier this week to say they were absolutely delighted, and actually their big boss, who's based in America, was delighted that actually they're now branching away from schools and into speech language therapy practices. And he then contacted me on LinkedIn to say, do you have any clients in America that we should be touching base with? Does ASLTIP have members based in other parts of the world? And I had to go back and think. No, actually, we're UK-based, but it'd be lovely if we could. So it's even that. It's been really interesting where new connections are coming from and how ASLTIP's name is getting out there. We're also trialling new things, and we're trying to create new opportunities for our members as well to make those connections. At the moment, we're also looking into being able to provide risk assessment training for our members, just so they can obviously complete risk assessment performance prior to going into school-based facilities, care home-based facilities, hospitals, wherever they're doing their working. We want to make sure that we've got the most appropriate guidelines out there for our members.
And again, that's the thing, when you're an independent therapist, you wear so many hats. You know, you're negotiating, you're doing the risk assessment, you're thinking about what will happen short term and long term, you're thinking about the fees, you're thinking about protecting yourself and your clients. There's so many hats that we're wearing, as well as the clinical side. So I think I mean, speech therapists are perfectly suited in this role, but there's so many skills that we've had to delve into during the pandemic. And talking about skills, so you're an app developer as well. How did that come along?
I just decided one day I was looking for an app to work with a client probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was specifically around somebody who had word finding difficulties, didn't enjoy doing paper-based tasks. Way back in the day, whenever I worked in community clinics, you just used paper-based tasks. It was quite boring. And I guess at that stage, I thought, you know what? Technology is starting to really be used so much within homes. iPads were starting to be developed. All the other range of Kindles and Android tablets as well. So parents were starting to ask me, is there anything out there we can download to use to actually support his communication difficulties? Whenever I did my research, I discovered that actually there wasn't really that much out there specifically around teaching new vocabulary and the strategies of vocabulary acquisition. So whenever a child's got a word retrieval difficulty, it is best explained probably as that tip of the tongue scenario. You know what you want to say, but sometimes you just can't access the right word. So you'll perhaps mislabel it and not realize you've mislabeled it until somebody looks at you funny and says, but did you mean to say sheep when you were talking about a cow, for example? So I thought, well, how hard could it be to create an app?
How hard can it be, really?
How hard can it be? I know, I'm a speech therapist. Let me just transition into my app developer role. But I guess I knew that I had the skills. What I did on paper with the child to teach those strategies around word retrieval, why couldn't we then put that into an app to do it exactly the same way? So I did, again, it's all about research. I must have phoned, I don't know, 4 or 5 companies just to find out, A, was it possible to start with? A few came back and didn't really understand what I was talking about because they didn't really understand the role of a speech and language therapist or the games ideas that I was coming up with. But I eventually did find a developer who said that is so easy to do. We just need to write a storyboard in terms of what you want to develop within this app, what games, how the games work for the child, what the child's expectation of the game is, what the outcome of that game is, how many games you want to make this work. Lots of different bits and pieces. So it took a good couple of years to develop and get it to where it is now. But it's lovely that actually for me, it sells and I don't have the time to market it. If I could market it, it would be amazing. But as you said, I have so many hats on at the moment. Yeah. It's the one thing that I've actually put on the shelf.
Okay.
And every so often, you know, I'll just go in and think, oh, I wonder, has there been any sales? And it surprises me how people find it and how people have downloaded it and the schools are using it. I've had lovely comments and feedback from teachers, from parents, from a speech and language therapist in America came back and said she uses it on a regular basis with her clients. So it's little things like that that surprise me more than anything.
Brilliant. So how can our parents who are listening today and speech and language therapists or anyone who's working in schools, how can they download your app? It's called Expanding Communication or Let's Expand?
It's called Let's Expand Vocabulary, okay. The actual app.
Okay.
And if you go on, it's only available at the minute on the iOS platform for the iPad. So if you go on to Apple's App Store, you can just put in Let's Expand Vocabulary and bring up a little bird, which is my logo for the app. His name's Finn. And then whenever you download the app, Finn tells you how to play. And what I decided as I created it was that I wanted to make sure that it covered lots of different accents. So we've got a lovely English accent on there explaining the games and all the vocabulary. Also, there's a Northern Irish accent on there just so that, you know, it's local to anybody from Northern Ireland. There's a child, so you don't have to listen to an adult. You can listen to a child saying all the words and describing how to play the games. And there's also the American accent on there too. So I've tried to cover a wide variety. And there's opportunity to make it easy, have it at more a medium level, and then also have it at a difficult level as well.
Brilliant. It's been great to have you on today, Ruth. Those 45 minutes have just flown by. As I was saying at the beginning, that once we start talking about our favourite topic, speech language therapy, we can just carry on and on.
Oh my goodness, I know, I can't believe it's flown by so quickly, but thank you so much for inviting me to come on. It's been such an amazing opportunity for me. And as I said at the start, it's something I've never done before. So I'll tell you now, you haven't put me off doing it again.
I'm really pleased to hear that. And Ruth, before you go, how can therapists get in touch with you if they're interested to join ASLTIP or to find out more about ASLTIP?
If you're interested in joining ASLTIP, it's best to go onto our website, which is www.asltip.com. If you go on there, there is lots of guidance as to how you can become a member of ASLTIP and what the benefits of being a member of ASLTIP are. It goes into much greater detail than what I've gone onto today. You can also then fill in the form online, which automatically will go straight to Gemma in the office. Mm-hmm. And then you can just sign up from there. Gemma will contact you, get everything in place, and then you can become an ASLTIP member. Any parents who are looking for an independent speech and language therapist can do exactly the same thing. Just go onto the website, and within the website you've then got a find a therapist box. Mm-hmm. As Sharmina mentioned at the beginning, you'll put in your postcode, you'll put in the age of your child, and if you want to put in more detail specifically around a condition or an area of difficulty your child is having, you can search for the most appropriate speech and language therapist by that means as well. What's lovely about it is it'll bring up a range of speech and language therapists who are local to you within the mileage that you're willing to travel. And then it's up to you to read their little blurbs about themselves to see who best suits your individual child or client's needs. The needs of your child or perhaps a family member who has communication difficulties.
And how can therapists or potential clients get in touch with you if they're interested in finding out more about Let's Expand Communication, either the app or your practice?
You can find me on my website, which is www.expandingcommunication.org. Again, there's a contact form on there. There's my personal email address on there too, so you can contact me. I've also got a Facebook page, which is Let's Expand Communication Pediatric SLTNI. And again, you can send me a personal message on there and I make contact very quickly.
Brilliant. And what's your Twitter handle?
It is SLTRuthNI.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ruth. It's been great having you on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future. There's so much to talk about.
That's lovely, Sharmina. Thank you so much.